Hi, welcome to a special edition of Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and I'm here at TechEd North America in New Orleans at the Channel 9 Live suite, and my guest is Phil Japixi of Telerik.
Hi.
Hey, Phil. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So the reason I asked you on is because I want to explore what kind of controls there are, third-party controls, particularly the ones you guys provide, for WPF and Windows Store developers. So okay. XAML developers, obviously some tools ship in the box, but there's a long tradition of our great third-party component vendors of providing additional tools for XAML developers. So the challenge to you is to impress me with demos, and you know how it works. We're in New Orleans, you show me something I like, you get beads.
As long as we're talking about demos, that's great.
Nothing but demo, baby.
All right, so let's go to the demo, and let's start with WPF. And the first thing I want to show is we have a lot of different controls, right? We have a slow demo. Great thing that we have an edit point. All right, so let me look at all the controls. And as you know, touch is becoming important, right? Not just on the surface and things like that, but laptops are shipping $300-$400 touch enabled.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at all these controls and you say, that's a lot of information on the screen, and I'm having a hard time using my big fat fingers on this little screen. What we've done with WPF in this quarter, which comes out on June 12th, is we've enabled touch theming. So the exact same code, different UI with a touch theme. So I can go in any of these controls. You can see they're nice and big. I can look at different examples. Oh, with an exception in it. That's awesome. That happens every now and then. So this is our quick solution framework, and we ship these with all of our controls so people can learn how to use them. Let's look at one of our new controls, and that's a spreadsheet control. So what we have here is you can also see it's very touch-friendly. I can do bold. I can do italics. And if you want to enable the user to switch back and forth, all you have to do is click, change the theme, and we're back in what I'll call desktop mode or standard mode. Let's go back to touch. And what we have is Excel in the browser, well, in a WPF app. So it's very Excel-like. I'm going to go ahead and edit this. And we'll just say Telerik. And then I can do the formulas, page layout, but I can also save it. So let's save this. And we'll put it right here on the desktop, and we'll call it Channel 9, something appropriate. Now let's go to the desktop. And I actually have an Excel spreadsheet. I'm going to open this in Office.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
You can see that it's just a regular spreadsheet. We'll change that to Telerik was at TechEd. And we'll save that. And let's actually look at Silverlight. And you might be thinking, Silverlight's dead. Everybody's declared it dead. Silverlight's not dead. There's still a lot of Silverlight code out there, and we want to continue supporting it.
Good.
Our Silverlight controls and our WPF controls use the exact same code base. So as we add more controls for WPF, Silverlight gets a free ride. All we have to do is do a little bit of UI tweaking for it, and then we're off to the races. So let's look at the spreadsheet control in Silverlight. And it loads up the same sample. It's a little slower on my demo machine. I don't have quite the 32 gig of RAM I have on my development machine. But let's open up that same file that we just saw in Excel.
Cool.
And we can type in here as well and save it.
Mm-hmm.
So the new spreadsheet control, brand new for this quarter, comes out June 12th. And you're saying, are we trying to get rid of Excel? No, absolutely not. Sometimes you have workers who are disconnected. They're in a hotel. So, and just to show that it really is Silverlight, yes, it really is Silverlight. So we haven't abandoned Silverlight. We have a lot of people still doing Silverlight controls. Now let's look at Windows 8.
Okay.
So we have two.
So before we get to that, a question about the touch.
Yes.
Do those controls support that degree of touch on not only Windows 8, but also Windows 7?
On Windows 7 as well.
And XP?
I'll have to get back to you on that.
Okay, but at least 7 and 8.
Yes, at least 7 and 8.
Got it.
So we have a lot of controls here. This is our quick start framework for Windows 8. HTML. We also have Windows 8 XAML controls. All the controls are built natively from the ground up. So we're not porting from another paradigm. Okay. We're actually native controls built for the platform. One of the focuses we have in Windows 8 is enterprise. We want to make sure that we support the enterprise developer. So let's look at one of our new enterprise type controls, and that's the calendar. So we have a standard booking app here for hotels. So I can click on a different date, and you see it changes the date on the book. This is two calendars working in concert together. And of course, you can change the location and things like that. The other thing we can do with our calendar is we can also show special dates. So if you got an internal app that somebody's using on one of their touch devices or Windows 8 devices, you can see that based on the day we have something going on, it shows the events, we can have an alarm, a lot of different icons we can add to the calendar to make things really pop out at the user.
Okay.
A control we launched last quarter and we keep improving is our grid. So you got to have data, right? Enterprise apps are data-centric, right? And we want to be able to easily show it. So if we just look at a simple sample, you can see we can mix charts. We can do special formatting. So based on some criteria, you can have it be red. So maybe it's making money, maybe it's losing money, maybe it hasn't hit its targets. You can change the format any way you want. So that's great. And you say, that's kind of cool, but it's just a grid. Let's look at some other options we have with the grid. And let's look at a sales dashboard. Ooh. So here we have grouping and sorting.
Nice.
If I want to change the group level, I can just change the order by dragging, or I can remove the order number. I can sort, and we actually have tri-state sorting. What that means is I click on it once, it sorts ascending. Click on a second time, it sorts descending. Click on
it
a third time, it's random. It's the order it was loaded.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But it does take the sort away. Some of the other controls, and unfortunately, the one that ships with from Microsoft, you have to actually program it to remove the sorting. The other thing in our QSFs is you say that's a great grid.
Your what?
Sorry, the quick start framework.
Okay.
These are sample applications. We ship this with all of our controls. We also have the code. You want to say, Phil, how'd you do that grid?
Nice.
Here's how I did the grid. And what I want to show you is that all those options that we set are just options in the Data Win Options tag. I didn't have to program the grouping or the sorting. All
so
I had to do.
So we're looking at HTML right now?
We're looking at HTML right now.
Okay.
And what we do is we just set options on the grid. We say, here are the fields we want to show. You can probably see that here. It's kind of hard to highlight with this. There we go. What the field is, what the title is. So this is the field that maps to our data source.
Is this grid also in XAML?
It's also in XAML. Okay. I can show you that as well.
Let's stick to the XAML examples for this episode. We'll do an HTML one later.
Certainly. Well, fortunately, our controls are in both suites.
Cool.
So let's pull up the XAML examples. Here we have another quick start framework for XAML. So you can see all of our controls. Let's go into the grid. And we have a lot of the same options here.
All right. Excellent.
We look at the code for this. You can see we have just standard product class here. That's our model. We want to look at the XAML, you see we're not doing a whole bunch of work in the back end.
Yeah.
We're just initializing the component, loading the data, and setting the data context, and we're off to the races.
Cool.
So everything else is set through option to the XAML, so you can do it in markup. You can also have programmatic access to it as well.
Right.
All right, of course, charts are important. If you want to show data, you want to be able to show it in a readable way, as opposed to just trying to digest numbers. So we have a whole series of charts. So a bullet graph is very common for showing kind of a high, low, and a warning type thing. We can go into great detail, see the code here as well. Again, the calendar, we don't need to go into that. Date picker, if you look at the date picker, it is very friendly. Of course, now we're stuck in the... There we go, we made the font bigger, there we go. Turn the code off, and you see that the date picker is very touch-friendly, right?
Yep.
Looks kind of like the one in the Windows Phone, doesn't it?
Oddly enough.
Oddly enough. You can also restrict that. You can have one based on the other through code, full access to the API.
Yep. So there is no date, we don't ship a date picker at the moment. You can actually write your own date picker, and it's fairly quick to get one sort of working.
Yes.
But then to handle all the things you're going to need, it's like a hockey stick, right? It's pretty easy to get started, but then to make it as good as you want, it takes off. So it's nice. It's nice to have.
Well, if you look at the date picker and the time picker that ships with the Microsoft controls, mm-hmm. it's actually three drop-down boxes,
right,
as opposed to the nice touch-friendly wheel,
right,
that relates to everything else.
Yep.
So here's some more charts. We have a lot of different charts. We have bars and lines and everything that you need. We can do all kinds of customization on these as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the thing I want to stress with, you know, why we make these controls, don't be a plumber, or don't do the plumbing unless you want to be a plumber.
Right.
Right? Everybody loves to have their running water. But do you want to be able to, before you have running water, run all the pipes yourself, tie into the Metropolitan Sewer District and everything else? No, you just want to use it.
It takes a fraction of the time to learn how to use your controls and trust that the folks writing them are pretty darn smart. You've got a full QA team, so your controls are going to be tested orders of magnitude.
Well, not only by us,
than,
by our customers,
right,
too. We have hundreds of thousands of customers.
And, yeah, so it takes a lot less time to learn how to use yours than to write one from scratch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the cost of development amortized across all of our customers.
Yep.
So you are not paying for the cost of developing this.
Right.
You're just paying to use it.
Yep.
And when you buy it, you get all the updates for a year.
Mm-hmm.
If you decide not to renew, you still get to keep the software, you just don't get the updates or the support.
Okay.
We bundle everything together in a package called DevCraft, and if you buy that, you get all of the controls in one nice package for less than the cost of two individual suites.
Cool.
All right. So, again, enterprise. We want to enable enterprise to easily deliver software that provides value to their employees,
mm-hmm.
or their customers, or whatever they're trying to do. So a lot of charts you can see here. We can actual versus target. We can do multiple types of chart in the same one. You see we've line and bar here, pie charts and everything else. One thing that we added in the past quarter one, is empty values. Right? So let's say you're missing some data. What you mm-hmm. don't want to have is have the graph drop down here,
right,
run along there, and pop back up. Because
yes,
that actually changes the meaning of your data.
Yeah, you now have incorrect data instead of missing data.
So if we want to see, we've got some soccer fans or football fans, depending
on
where you're watching.
So I assume that empty part there was when they were booted out of the Premier League down to the lower league, but
yes,
then they made
was.
Their way back?
Yep.
Good for them.
Absolutely. So I see you're a football fan as well. Awesome. All right, the other thing we want to do is we want to make sure that your users have an easy time of doing whatever they need to do. So data entry, selecting things. We are going here. We have type ahead. So name me a movie. I'm not online. It's actually not going to pull it up. So I don't have internet connection, so it doesn't work.
Right.
So let's look at the canned demo instead, since I'm not connected to the internet. But we do have type ahead. So you type in great, it's going to filter out everything that says great.
Okay.
And it's fully templatable. So instead of just having a bunch of words, you can go out to a third-party source like the Flickr database or IMDb
mm-hmm.
and pull down the images, some metadata when it was released and things like that. You don't have to store all that in your back end. You can merge that data through a simple MVVM pattern.
Cool.
Our hub tile allows us to look at your data as if it was the Metro screen. Sorry, not to say Metro. I call it the Voldemort interface because it's he who must not be named. But the modern applications store
interface. I haven't
interface.
Heard that one
you
yet.
Heard
that?
I use it in
That's
most of
good.
My talks.
Okay.
So we have live tiles here. This is actually in my app.
Right.
So you can continue the live tile paradigm in your app, figure out where you want to go to.
This is a great example, something that would work well in like banking apps.
Absolutely.
Right? So Bank of America, for example, has an app in the store. It's a really good app, and you can see your accounts. But they don't use live tiles because they're not going to display your financial information on the start screen. Right. Another good example is medical apps. Not only are there HIPAA concerns, but it's not like you want your live tile to report, oh, I just got the results back from the doctor, you have a week to live, right?
Yeah.
or something like that.
That's one way to find out.
It's a very bad way to find out, and broadcast it to others. Whereas the app tile is not live, but when you come in and enter your credentials to prove who you are, then you get all of the liveness here. And so the app, the main screen of the app, is your KPI dashboard. So one level down from the start screen, right?
Well, and continuing with healthcare, so I spent 15 years as a firefighter paramedic, so I spent a lot of time in hospitals. Just think of if at the nurse's station they had something like this, right? Again, no live tiles.
Right.
But right now what they have is a big board, and they're usually electronic, with the patient's initials and then kind of their stats, but it's a whole lot of words. So what if you had all the rooms that you're responsible for as an individual live tile in this app, and everything's fine, it's green? You know, if they're paging you for food or coffee, it might flip around and say, patient needs food, no catering. Or if there's an alert, it can come red and show you what team needs to respond.
Yeah, and you can be pulling data from a back end. You can be using SignalR to get the real-time communication.
Yep. Absolutely.
Very cool. Lots of scenarios there.
All right, we also have a numeric top text box. And again, what we want to do is we want to make everything very optimized for touch. Mm-hmm. So I have this set to step at a certain amount. These are by tens. I can also type in a regular number if I want to, right off the on-screen, and change the opacity, change the size, all through touch.
Cool.
And you see over here the touch is changing, and I can change the text to make it not readable if I want to. Last thing I want to show you is pagination.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to, let's say you want to make a portal, your Delta Airlines or your some vacation package thing, Sands, one of those, and you want to have a nice app that they can use in Windows 8 to see all their different resorts. Well, through a variety of means, I can flip through right here. When I get to the one I want, I can set my program up, so I just click on the image, it'll take me right to that resort, I can get more details.
Okay. Cool.
So very visual representation. Again, we're trying to focus on making things easy for touch. And, you know, the whole personality of Windows is content over Chrome.
Right.
We want to make sure that the content is first and foremost, and we don't cloud the user with a whole bunch of links and things that are very difficult to navigate.
Now, do you have controls? Let's say I'm still doing a WPF app, and I want to make it look more modern. Do you have the same ability in the WPF apps to build modern-looking desktop apps?
Yep, we do. So if we go back into the WPF demo, this is WPF. So I can scroll through, and you see that we've got the live tiles right here in WPF.
Cool.
Right? I can go to the bookshelf.
And they pretty much work the same?
Bookshelf needs the internet. I should
That's
have known
skeuomorphic
not to...
there.
Yes, it is. So let's look at the grid view, first look, again, optimized for touch.
Fantastic.
So we want to make sure that, you know, there's a lot of WPF out there.
Sure.
The advantage of WPF
it runs on it's still the premier way of building desktop applications.
Yeah, absolutely. I've done a lot of WPF myself.
Yep.
We want to make sure that you get all those advantages of the new design paradigm without having to move over to Windows 8 Voldemort interface or the Metro style and lose that customer base.
Well, we want you to move over to Windows Store development, but what we also want is for the ability for you to build a modern looking app. We don't want this world where, oh, WPF, that's for building the old style apps that look like the old style apps, you know, WinForms, Battleship Gray, you know, you build a WPF app and it looks old. What you're showing us here is that you can take your existing WPF apps and make them look modern.
Right.
So your goal is to provide good-looking and well-built, well-performant applications, whether they're WPF or Windows Store or
Phone, absolutely. Let me clarify my comment. What I was inferring wasn't that we don't want you doing Windows 8 development, but we don't want you to have to stop moving forward with your development just because you're trying to get something into the store.
What we don't want you to feel like you have to do is give up what you're currently using just to get some modern look and feel. You shouldn't move to Windows 8 because the apps look better. That's not the reason to move to Windows 8 and building Windows Store apps. We want you to move to those because it gives you the mobile experience, gives you the integration with the contracts. We want you to move because you have the features, not give up what you have just because you want your apps to look good. That's what we're saying.
Yeah, and certainly, let's get your older apps. I use a Battleship Gray for WinForms. You know how you can spot a WPF app? The background's white.
Right. White.
Battleship white.
Exactly.
So let's modernize your current apps, give your users better experience. You're still going to have reach with WPF because it works on so many different platforms in the Microsoft ecosystem.
Yep.
And then you can start looking at, what do I need to do to extend my application, extend my business to make it, more tablet friendly using Windows 8 development.
Exactly.
And all those XAML skills that you have in WPF, you can use them right in Windows 8 as well on the XAML side. And our controls, although they're not the same controls because we had to build them from scratch, and it's really the right way to do it is build them from scratch, we've strived very hard to make them respond and work the same way.
But you're able to reuse most of the logic and code.
Absolutely.
You're able to reuse a lot of the XAML. We don't have to necessarily pick a percentage, but it was greater than zero.
Yes.
So there was a huge amount of reuse.
Right. So, and that's also why when there's new WPF and Serverlike controls not too far behind, we can leverage those in Windows 8 XAML.
Very, very cool. That is bead worthy.
All right.
There you go.
Awesome. I'll cherish these and
excellent.
Tell my wife that I got them on TV.
That could scare her even more than telling her you got them in the first place. All right. Thanks so much for doing this.
Well, thank you for having me. This is great.
Thanks. All right. So check out these controls. Everything you just showed is downloadable as a free demo from Telerik website.
30, 60, or 90 days, depending on the sweep, at least 30 for all of them, and Telerik.com.
That's cool stuff. All right, we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.